You this morning, and you know, I enjoy Bible conferences. The only problem is they all we all get to talking, and it reminds us how old we're getting. I mean, I've known Brother Kozar, it seems like, for a lifetime. And so, you know, the song that was just sang, it's a joy to my heart. There's a lot of the songs that we used to sing whenever I was a kid that they don't sing anymore. I don't know why, because I think they're wonderful songs. But so when you know when we look at we have a lot of precious memories. And so first off, let me thank the church for your grace and hospitality. It's truly a joy to be back with you this morning. And this morning I want to speak on the shadows of the evening are stretched out. I found that in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out." You know, I was raised on the farm, down in a little community. I was in a community last week. We were talking about just a moment ago. I was at Divide Community. Well, I was raised in the Kokomo community, and we were farmers. And from the time I was 9 or 10 years old, I was riding a tractor. My dad had an old Poppin' Johnny, an old A. John Deere. And, you know, I'd get home from school and I'd go get on that tractor and I would plow and I would plow. And finally, the shadows of the hill where we lived would start stretching out across the field, and it would start getting darker and darker. And pretty soon I'd begin to think, well, you know, it's going to be about time to go to the house here in a little bit because I've got to do the chores. Now, if Dad was home, he milked the cow and I milked the goat. But if he wasn't home, I got to milk both of them. And you know, we think about those things. I can remember plowing until it was just enough dark light left that I could go up through the pasture. And if the old milk cow was still down in the pasture, you had to get her on to the barn so that she could be milked. But you saw the lights of the house. And, you know, I think about that. It was a warm, glowing welcome. Welcome you home from a hard day at work. And then I think today, you know, we live in a world of darkness. We live in a world that is getting more and more and more corrupt every day. We have a lot of problems at the church there in Haltom City. And when the police come, we're talking about the situation. And the common thing they say is, well, it's South Haltom. Like, you're supposed to expect this stuff to happen down here. Well, I think that that's true all over the world in which we live today. It's sad that we have to have security teams in churches today. We're living in a world that is getting worse and worse and worse. And so we find that as we look at the passage that we spoke of, there's a song. It's called A Beautiful Life. It was sang in the churches, and it became known when it was... it was actually made well known when the gospel quartet on Hee Haw sang it. But it goes something like this. The chorus goes like this. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, for there will be no setting sun. Well, the song illustrates to us what the Lord Jesus Christ laid out for us in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 4. First, God uses this illustration to speak about the brevity of life and the surety of death. I would have never dreamed that I would be 69 and 3 quarters. You remember that whenever we were kids, we were 1 and a half, 1 and 3 quarters. Well, and then we got to where we really didn't want to talk about our birthdays. Matter of fact, my dad, somebody asked him one day, he was 72 when he passed, and somebody said, "Clifford, are you still having birthdays?" He said, "At my age, you're just glad to have another one." Well, I think I'm coming to that point pretty soon. Now, I know I'm the youngster, but, you know, when you go to Bible conferences, you look out, and it's wonderful to see some black hair. Yeah. Well, God used this illustration to speak about the brevity of life. And you know, it seems like it was just yesterday that I was that youngster getting off the tractor and going to take the cow to the barn. So we find, firstly, that the days of opportunity draw to a close. How often the Bible reminds sinners of their sin and their need for salvation, and that's been well explained this morning, the need that man has for salvation while he is in this life, because there is no salvation after this life. Time after time, the Lord gave people time to repent, and they did not. We look at the day of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, we don't even live that long anymore. I don't know of anybody that's 120. The idea of the verse is that God is not going to be always patient with man. We look at the world in which we live today, and we cannot but consider that surely God's mercy is drawing nigh. It's drawing to an end. It's coming, going to come to an end very soon. We look at the scripture and it tells us that it was in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah, that so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Lord. Ebenezer said that the word is used as a sword in the scabbard, and it shall not always abide there, but be unsheathed and drawn out, because man will not live forever, since he is corrupt and sinful. God was gracious to Adam and Eve in the garden whenever he forbid them the tree of life. I am experiencing aches and pains that I thought I would never experience. I was always very, very proud that I could get out and work and do the things. And in May, I fell and broke my shoulder in four places. And then I had found out that whenever I fell, I also created some back problems. And so, you know, when I get up in the morning, I have aches and pains. And so I'm glad. I'm learning that this body is deteriorating day by day caused by sin. And the reward of sin is death. For the believer, death is a joy. Brother Don Davis, a man in our church, a man that founded Landmark Mission Projects, just found out a couple of weeks ago that he is in stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And talking with him the other day, he's been dealing with a lot of pain. The one thing that he asked the doctor is, "Don't let me hurt." So they've been giving him a lot of medicine. And the last time I saw him, he really is sleeping most of the time, which I think is a joy, because he's not in pain. He's not hurting. And he says, "Jim, I don't know why the Lord won't just let me go home." Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, in no pain, in no suffering, in no sorrow. We will have all the precious memories that we have. There will be a great reunion in that time. But these wicked antediluvian people turned a deaf ear to God's warning. Noah preached for 120 years. It's going to rain. Judgment is going to come. And they scoffed. I can just imagine the scoffing that went on. "Noah, you're building a boat. It's a long way from water. God's going to send rain. Noah, don't you realize it's never rained? Noah, you keep talking about God's judgment, but after all, God loves everybody." And then it began to rain. Drops began to drop. Something that had never happened before began to take place. And all of a sudden, these people began to think, "What's going on?" And then God called Noah and his family, and he took them into the ark, and he shut the door. And the bottom fell out, as we'd say in Texas. And it began to rain, and it rained harder and harder and harder, and pretty soon that boat that was so far away from water was floating. And the people began to look for the high ground, and there wasn't any after a while. And they understood life's eating sun is slow, sinking slow. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done. All of a sudden, they realized and they understood that there was a God, a sovereign God of heaven and earth, and that His word through His prophet, through Noah, was true. And so, again, we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth. He come, and He walked, and He began a ministry. They were surprised whenever He was 12 and He went into the temple. They couldn't understand how a young one could have so much knowledge. And then He began His public ministry, and all of a sudden the Pharisees and the Sadducees realized that this guy is a threat to us. I mean, Judaism had come from the time of Malachi, when the Lord told them in Malachi that the priests were so corrupt that they were allowing the people to offer sacrifices that did not meet the requirements. And now it's come from a place of appointment of God for the high priest to a political appointment. It was a political... Whoever became the high priest became rich. And so everybody wanted that. So they began to despise what He was teaching. They hated it because the people were listening to what He was saying. They were hearing truth and they could tell that it was truth. Finally, they fulfilled the plan of God in having Him put to death, the death of the cross. The only death that could be His. We read in the Scripture how that they took and they scourged Him. They beat Him so severely that He did not look like a man. Most men died on the whipping post, but Jesus Christ could not because He must suffer the death of the cross. After they saw Him die at the cross, they went their way rejoicing because an enemy had been conquered. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done. Can you imagine whenever they stood, whenever they opened their eyes in hell, realizing that they had rejected Messiah? By the way, if God wasn't going to send people to hell, He wouldn't have created it. Because God has a purpose in everything. He was told about the judgment that was come. When we look at Felix, the Apostle Paul goes in to Felix and he preaches the gospel unto him. He preached about the judgment that was to come and the need for repentance. And we find Felix's response in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." As far as we read in the Scripture, there was never a convenient season. It never came. And from hell, Felix understood, "Woe, the shadows of evening are stretching out." Now, let's look at the same of those who saw the need and responded in the book of Matthew chapter 20 verses 30 and 34. There's blind men sitting at Jericho. In verse 30, the two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." They had been in that state for a very long, long time. But at that time, when they heard that Jesus had come, they began to cry out in earnest that He might meet their needs. You see, Jesus came to them. They did not go to Jesus. So they responded when the Lord said in verse 32, "What will you that I should do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Lord, that our sight, that our eyes may be opened." Oh, I remember the time when the Lord opened my eyes. I've had many awakenings in my life. I like Bible conferences because when the preachers are talking, we're all talking about the old time, the things that have transpired in our life, the chapters of our lives, if you will. And we all have chapters in our lives. Some of them we want to forget. Some of them we want to remember. Sometimes we call them precious memories. But I remember when the Lord saved me. It was under a tabernacle. Some people don't even know what a tabernacle is anymore. They had yellow bulbs in the yellow light bulbs so that the bugs were less. And us kids always sit on the back row exactly where the kids shouldn't be sitting. And there was a light right up above the preacher. And we were always wondering, when's he going to get a bug in his mouth? I mean, boy, we were spiritual teenagers now. When's he going to get a bug in his mouth? And sooner or later, the preacher would get a bug. And he'd spit and sputter a little bit, and he'd start right on preaching. I don't remember all that the preacher preached that night, but I remember the Holy Spirit of God calling me. One of my friends was saved the night before, and after we were talking at the back, and I said something, and he says, "You need to be saved too." There was that gospel. "I don't need to be saved." "Yeah, you do. You're a sinner." Mother said, "I ask 1,000 questions the next day." You see, God was beginning to work in my heart. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When they cried out for mercy, the Lord extended mercy unto them. When we cry out to the Lord extends mercy. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. Isn't that true in the spiritual sense? When God touches us, when He opens our eyes to our sin and the truth that we need a Savior, once we are saved, we follow in baptism and we follow Him. There was the demonic of Gardenia. He wanted to follow the Lord, and the Lord said, "Nope. I want you to go home and tell your people what great things the Lord has done for thee." But after a while, he went by that country. And his name had been proclaimed to the people. He had done what he was told to do. You know, that's what we as Christians are to do. We are to do as Christ tells us to do. And so then we find Zacchaeus. Everybody knows the story of Zacchaeus. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord came by and he looks up in the sycamore tree and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down." And something wonderful happened in his life. The blind men of Jericho and Zacchaeus found life's evening sun is sinking low. "A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done." The difference between the two, they had been saved, born again, redeemed, and had eternity in heaven waiting for them after the evening sun went down. The others would open their eyes in darkness in a place called hell. So the day of God's grace draws to close. Over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Having established his church, he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. He arose, went to the temple in heaven, offered his blood, and returned and showed himself to his disciples. And then he appeared, it says, to the apostles and to many other witnesses. Over 500. There's no one can say that Jesus Christ was not seen of witnesses after his resurrection. So it is of truth. Today is the age of the gospel. We have the means. We have television. We have radio. We have Facebook, Twitter, and everything else in the world. I have been to countries to where they wouldn't have anything in the... It was grass huts. We would go into the areas where there was nothing but grass huts. And they would have a pole with a satellite antenna on it. If they had electricity, they could have satellite TV. I remember many times, I remember as a child listening to the radio, old Fibber McGee and Molly and some of those programs, but I also remember listening to the gospel programs on the radio. We have an opportunity today to go throughout the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no doubt that we have not reached all of the elect because we're still here. There's no doubt whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the why we go. God deals with sinners in grace. He will pardon and forgive the repenting and believing sinners. However, this age of grace, of unmerited favor of God toward sinners, is fast coming to a close. I believe that with all of my heart. Someone once said that if the Lord doesn't come soon, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God is not going to apologize because God's purpose is coming to pass. God will come at the exact hour. The Bible tells us that we are born, we live, and there is a day, an hour, a month, a year, and a second in which we will depart from this life. So we find that the coming of the Lord, the prophet Joel said that this age would end with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and in glory. The Lord spoke of the last days and gave signs of what His second coming will be. And whenever we look at the world in which we live today, we have to consider that surely that is at this time in which we live. The early church believed that the Lord would return in their lifetime. I mean, they said, the Lord's going to return. I remember hearing what at that time I considered the old preachers talking about World War I. And they said, Lord's going to come back. Then came World War II. Lord's going to come back. I mean, you look at the signs of the time. The Lord's got to come back. Then with Korea and Vietnam and so on and so on. There's been wars and rumors of wars. Well, again, the shadow of the evening is stretching out. But the Lord has not returned. While it is true that we're not given the day, the month, the year, we have been told, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall girt Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And know this, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Now, I talk to pastors, and you know, we have some problems at our church, and it's called getting people to come to church. It's called getting the members there when they're supposed to be there. I don't understand that. I find no greater joy than being in the house of God. But we live in a day of uncaring, I guess, is the best way to say it. It's people just seemingly don't care. Well, it tells us that in the last days, the church will be lukewarm. And so I think that it's just signs of the closeness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the day of earthly life draws to close. The psalmist understood the truth of immortality and mortality. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When we look at the psalmist, he had seriously contemplated the brevity of life. In verses 5 and 6, he says that life is like the grass that grows up in the morning, flourishes, and in the evening is gone. It's like the a frost that comes. It's like a breath that you breathe out on a cold day. It's here and it's gone. And I think that's true. I think I can witness, many of you can also witness, that life is very brief. I remember whenever January the 1st, 2018, we have 365 days left in this year, where have they gone? It's November. Where has the year gone? What have we accomplished for Christ? Life is brief, and that which we are going to do for the Lord must be done today. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. Before I surrendered to the ministry, I was an electrical lineman. Got up every morning, went and got in the trucks, and went out on the work schedule, and would get in the bucket truck and go up and grab a hold of 22,000 volts and work on it. Well, one day we didn't have anything to do, so they sent us out to change out service entrances. So we were at a house. We pulled up there. Normally I worked the pole and the other lineman would work the house. And that day he said, "Let me work the line." I said, "Okay." So we got the ladder and I leaned it up against the house and I was over at the truck getting some stuff. And this lady come running across the street. Now, this lady shouldn't have been running. She was running across the street and she come by me and I'm looking at her like, "Lady, what's wrong?" And she turned at me and she says, "Help me. My neighbor has had a heart attack." So we followed her into the house, and there was a man sitting in a rocking chair in a pair of overalls and no shirt on, and he was leaned back, and he had had a heart attack. So we grabbed him and get him in the floor and do CPR, and it seemed like an eternity before the ambulance got there. Well, the ambulance gets there, and We have him breathing. Well, about that time he stopped and we got him to breathing again. We get him on the stretcher. We get him in the ambulance. And the ambulance attendant says, "Can one of y'all go with us? We're short a man." So my boss looks at me and says, "Go." So I get in the ambulance and I ride the ambulance to the hospital. And then about midway down, he stopped breathing again. And we worked on him all the way to the hospital. We get to the hospital and the hospital staff takes him. We sit down on the back of the ambulance. And I look over at the EMT and I said, "I wonder if that man was saved." And he said, "I don't know if he was, but I know you are." Well, come to find out, he was the preacher there in Pilot Point. Well, several years later, there was a group from Aubrey, Texas, came to the mission field where we were at. And we were going somewhere on a bus and there was this lady and an older lady that were kind of paired up. And so we were talking about our lives, the chapters of our lives. And I talked about being a lineman for Texas New Mexico Power and Light and working in Pilot Point in Aubrey. And this lady just gets this bewildered look on her face. And she says, "Do you remember working in a house and a man had a heart attack?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "That was my husband." I said, "Ma'am, I've got a question I've got to ask you." And she says, "Yes, he was." He was a believer. But you see, that morning he had got up and went out into his garden to till his garden and care for it because he wanted to have the fruits of his labors, not knowing that the evening sun would set before the day was over. So death is certain. And eternity is a reality. The Apostle Paul tells us this truth in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We are born, we live, we die. That is life. We don't know the hour. I didn't know when I was going to be born. My parents didn't know when I was going to be born. My dad was dying with cancer. We knew that he was very close, but we didn't know when he would pass. But the Lord did. And so we don't know the brevity of life. Some live their lives as if life was dependent on their own desires. But the reality is life is like a flower, a vapor, a tail that appeareth and vanisheth just as quickly as it appeared. First, we must live life remembering, "Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out." Life is short. It doesn't matter who or what we are. the shadow of life creeps closer and closer to us each day. My cousin was 30 years old. He was president of a bank, had a wonderful family. He went to the doctor one day, and the doctor said, "I need to send you to the hospital for a bunch of tests, but I'm not going to." My cousin went home and had a heart attack and was dead. You see, he was young. He expected long life. My uncle and aunt always said, we expected to have Teddy alive to take care of us in our old age. We have no idea of what life is. So we must remember, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done where there will be no setting sun. So each of us will stand before the Lord and give an account. The many for whom Christ died to bear their sins will pass into an eternal place where the sun never sets, because the sun is the light of that place. Oh, there's a lot of names for heaven, but I think my favorite name for heaven is my Father's house. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And we're going to go there and we're going to spend all eternity in the light of the sun, rejoicing and praising and worshiping Him. I don't know what believers that don't enjoy coming to church are going to do there. Well, maybe that glorification thing will take care of it. Because when we get there, we're going to worship Him and praise Him. So our Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so we find Christ was offered on the cross of Calvary to bear the sins of many. The antediluvians learned that. Sodom and Gomorrah learned that. And for those whom He died, they will hear His voice and they will follow after Him. I have had the joy of going to many countries and preaching the gospel on mission trips. And it's always amazing, wherever we've gone, God is there before us. And God has been working in the hearts and the lives of people. And those whom He wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You establish a church and the nationals continue to go forth preaching the gospel. And the Lord saves people. Today, very often I get emails from Malawi. We have a work over there. There's about 80 churches that are going on over there. All of those churches have a lay pastor, and there's 18 full-time men that are working in the ministry as pastors, evangelists. They all pastor a church and have at least 3 or 4, 5 mission works going on. And the thing that they are always telling me is we must reach our people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, because the Lord will save them. Because He has saved, we're also to watch for Him. He will appear the second time to take us home without sin. So will there be woe or joy when the shadows of life stretch forth? God bless you.